Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 27th, 2011. Today I'll be interviewing Sonia Barrett, who is editor of Sovereign Mind magazine, the host of Sovereign Mind Radio, and co-producer of a movie in production called The Business of Disease, a documentary exploring the hypnosis of marketing, belief systems, and the body's ability to heal. Sonia has a new book coming out in a few months called The Cosmic Game in 3D, Mastering Reality, Mastering the Matrix of the Mind. And if you check the Cosmic Love Show archives back on September 27, 2008, you'll find my last interview with Sonia when she came out with her book called The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. Sonia, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you so much for having me back. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, you know, we live in an amazing time, and a lot of people are trying to get a grip on the energetic changes impacting our perceptions. And personally, I believe that an understanding of the holographic nature of the universe and the holodeck between our ears, so to speak, is one of the most important keys to conscious evolution at this time. And I believe that our listeners would like to wrap their minds around the seminal concepts of this holographic thing, and I can't think of anyone better to ask for more insight on the subject. So,
we're in trouble now. If you can't think of anyone better, we're in big trouble.
Well, it's a favorite subject of mine, and I was just reviewing some of the information that I posted with the show back in 2008 that we did, and there was a quote that I had on that referencing, and I'm not sure if it was from your book or where I got it, but it was saying that back in the 1600s, Galileo defied conventional wisdom by saying that the Earth actually orbited around the Sun and not the other way around. And of course, that was just heresy back then.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like almost like a quantum leap, like back then. And I like the quote that Galileo had regarding the order of the universe. And he wasn't referring to the holographic universe, but he was saying that the language of universe is written in mathematics, and its characters are triangles, circles, and other geometric figures without which it is humanly impossible to understand a single word of it, you know, the order of the universe.
Right.
And of course, to me, that concept of there is a divine order, there's a method to the madness, I'm kind of tuning into this concept of there's an energetic field with, you know, they're energetic, everything is energetic fields within fields, but within the brain, there's the brain holodeck, so to speak, is an energetic field. And of course, the brain is just a physical organ, but the energetic field, the holodeck, is where consciousness manifests. And that, as I understand it, that field is a function of fields within fields within fields within fields.
Oh, yeah.
Of the quantum universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's endless. And so the framing of the holodeck, as I understand it, or a frame of reference to understand these holographic principles, is these pure geometry frames of reference. And, of course, Galileo was... He was back then. All the astronomers were astrologers. In other words, they didn't separate God from universe.
Yeah, how about that? What a novel idea!
And of course, you know, I've done advanced astrology workshops and worked with the concept of, you know, the psychology of astrology. And the geometric, you know, frames of reference are, you know, the trines, sextiles, squares, you know, all these geometric framing of energy fields in the holodeck, you know, makes sense to me. And so I've been kind of tuning into this concept of, and of course the love model that I have on my Cosmic Love webpage at the top is pure geometry, frames of reference for the law of the one, the circle, the two and one, you know, the cross and the square, the three and one, the trinity, the four and one, you know, you might say the pyramid of self and or civilization as a thought form that in the mysteries they refer to one of the most powerful thought forms in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet, because it cross references the law of the one, two and one, and three and one, and this is like dimensional frames of reference for, of course, fourth and fifth dimension, which is like the capstone consciousness this square with the cross and the circle in the middle of it. And so, you know, I've been tuning into this and playing around with this for quite a few years, and I've been reading some different places about the holodeck, you know, the holographic field within the brain, and that it's like a 3D cube, you know, it's like that cosmic cube, which is that thought form of 3D that references 4D in time, you know, moment to moment, that really references then an integration of all the dimensions in fifth dimension, in 5D. And, of course, these concepts are kind of abstract, but when I put this between my ears, you know, and talk about, and we're talking about the upper brain and the lower brain, you know, the pineal gland at the top of the brain, the reptilian brain at the lower brain. And then you've got your left brain and your right brain, in the two hemispheres. And you've got your forebrain where foresight is, and you've got your rear brain where hindsight is. And so there's like a dimensional field there that, you know, and they do brain mapping now, you know, with
right.
magnetic resonance, and they can actually see where consciousness is being focused and directed in these different hemispheres of the brain. And it's amazing that in this field, you might say, this cosmic cube, this holodeck, there are different processes with the circle, the triangle, and the square, and it's like the pure intention, you might say, is like a core principle. You know, intention focuses attention, you know. And again, where it focuses attention in the holodeck is, you know, it can be actually monitored with nuclear magnetic resonance. And it focuses attention, and with the concept in the, you know, of integration, there's a retention, you know, moment to moment, which creates habits, and habits are like memory. And the whole process of evolutionary ascension with a frequency of, you know, a dimensional frequency, some people refer to love or love's, the retention of the frequency of holy compassion, is really the key to evolutionary ascension into the fifth dimension.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's how I approach all of this.
That's what I wanted to get to.
my approach with all of this is that I think that I talk about the science of all of this as well. But I think that from what I have seen with people, I think sometimes we can get so lost in, and I've seen this with people at different lectures and so on and so forth, we can get so lost in just trying to either decipher or trying to, you know, figure out if we're going into the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension, that we can actually miss the boat on what's supposed to happen. Because there is so much. And that's the reason why I talk about the programming of humanity so much, is because there is so much in us that are programmed beliefs and perceptions, and the way we live our lives, and you know, based on all of those, that unless we can even begin to really do a level of self-examination, it's even more challenging to make these levels of crossover that we are looking at, because we have to remember that what we're dealing with is a very dense vehicle. You know, our body is very dense. Our thinking is also very dense. There's a lot of density. This kind of evolution that we keep talking about is a lightening. A lightening as in you're lighter. You're not in that same level of density. And the only reason why that starts to lessen is because the consciousness starts to shift. And when the consciousness shifts, now we're talking about the vibration of the consciousness. And all of those things can only happen when we come into a certain space of understanding and we begin to change our belief systems and our perceptions and our wanting to put creation in a box, which, again, I talk about tremendously because, you see, as human beings, we want creation to be something that we're comfortable with. And so our discoveries, we have to keep remembering that what we discover in this moment, in 20 years or in 100 years, it'll be probably quite primitive. So we have to keep that in mind, that creation is never going to be this final thing that we keep trying to make it. It is us that keep stepping up to be able to see more of what creation is and what's possible, not the other way around. Creation is showing itself to us as we evolve and expand in our own consciousness and in our own awareness. And so I see that we have to be able to explore those things about ourselves that some people think are insignificant or it's not important. And it's extremely important because it's the very thing that you will need to transcend in order to be able to see more. And again, you talk about that space, you know, right between your ears there. We are the ones that are creating this holographic reality on many, many levels. On this level here, this little playing field here, and on a core level, you know, we are it. We are that thing that we're looking for on a more profound level. We are the entirety of all of creation. It's just that on this level, we are operating in a very minuscule and limited aspect of that, you know, all-encompassing core energy. And of course, that's to allow that core energy to experience and be all that it can be. So I like to remind people of those factors, that it's necessary. Your body is necessary. It's not something that should be tossed to the side because you're just worried, you just want to be more spiritual, or you want to expand, you want to grow. You know, I say that we do need our bodies, you know, for levels of expansion that we have not even tapped into, or many people have not even looked at or recognized. We just keep seeing that, okay, well, we're going into the fifth dimension, and then what? You know, so I'm always saying that, and then what? You know, there's so much more than, you know, yeah, when people, you know, sitting around and just saying, okay, we are being really spiritual and we're doing, it's a whole gamut, and we have to be like children at the same time in how we embrace all of this and make it fun and see that we are here. Yeah, we are playing in this experience. That's what we have been doing. But however, we're just going to a different leg of the game now. We are wanting to expand to another leg of this cosmic game experience.
So the process of creation, you might say the creative process or the creator's process, is really a learning process. It's a self-correcting process, and a lot of people are saying that there's big shift in the quantum field right now where that process is accelerating.
Right.
And a lot of people are, so to speak, awakening to you know, a process that's going on within them, and of course
of awareness. Mm-hmm.
A process of awareness. And mm-hmm. framing that process, I think, is like self, as you refer to, self-analysis or self, you know, self, is really that self-analysis, you know thyself.
Realization.
Mm-hmm. Self-realization is really at the heart of self-correcting or self-perfecting mm-hmm. or self, you know, self-elevation of a salvation nature, I like to refer to it.
I think that's a good word that you use, self-elevation, that because that's what we're doing. We're elevating ourselves beyond the limitations by which we have lived or by which we've been experiencing reality, and not just in this time, but, you know, potentially other times in terms of, you know, this particular experience that we call reality on Earth anyway.
I like Einstein's reference to that when he says that, you know, about time is not at all what it seems. It does not flow in only one direction, and the future exists simultaneously with the past.
Absolutely, and that's the whole bottom line of it. But see, here's what I find so fascinating, because we contradict ourselves so much. And because, yes, I'm a little out there, I'm always having to bring that aspect of it up, because we will say in one breath, the past, present, and the future exist simultaneously. Then we forget that we've said that, and then we say, yeah, everything and everyone is going, you know, this reality will no longer exist. Okay, potentially for you, but for those beings who are not done with that level of experience, if past, present, and future exist simultaneously, then every past and every potential future is somewhere. It's somewhere. So this will always be there. So that's why it becomes important that the individual focuses on expanding, because we, the individual, is the one that is changing what reality looks like for you. We might think that reality looks the same, you know, for you and for me, and there's some similarities, but there might be some differences in how I'm observing reality that you can't detect and I can't detect. So it all comes down to the individuality,
yeah,
exactly. But we don't hear that. That doesn't get talked about. We just want to see everybody on the planet shifting into the sixth dimension. Well, you don't know everybody on the planet. You can't see the whole world.
Yeah. Well, I think the veil is thinning at an accelerated rate. And
oh,
I
you're
think
right
what,
about that. Absolutely.
And what's happening is, and my expression is a lot of stuff in people are popping to the surface. I mean, just like gifts of the Holy Spirit, losing time. But getting into a real time, you know, an in-depth sense of the moment. For some people, other people, it's just different types of effective sensory perception, or ESP. And I really believe that, I can see that. It's totally unique to different individuals. You know, it's like just everyone's biochemically in unique.
Wired into it a different, little bit differently.
Yeah, they're wired differently. And my expression is that everyone, each individual is 100% correct for their prevailing awareness. Now they may be out to lunch as far as cosmic law goes, but cosmic law at this point is not conceived or believed as the standard for conscious evolution.
None of it is fixed, though. None of it is fixed. And I've asked that question. I've had physicists on my show, and I've said that. I said, so is it then possible, I'm saying is it possible, but I already know that it is, that what we define as the laws of physics, that there really technically are no laws, but the laws that we call the laws are always only relevant to the evolution of that particular species at that time. This is what I have seen, is that that's the way it is. Everything is relevant according to our own evolution. So there
That's right.
is no final laws of physics. That's really
well. There are quantum laws. See, the laws of physics as we know them are not in sync with really quantum laws. Mostly, when I say that, most laws of physics, they're getting into quantum reality, but they haven't incorporated into the conventional wisdom yet. And it's still like, you know, what the bleep do we know kind of a thing, you know?
Right. Exactly. You know?
And we're starting to get glimmerings of this. For example, Dr. David Hawkins, you know, in the book Power versus Force, he says that one individual who lives and vibrates to the energy of pure love and reverence for all life will counterbalance the negativity of 750,000 individuals who calibrate at the lower weakening levels. Now, they did millions of tests utilizing behavioral kinesiology to arrive at this. You know, it was a decade-long research that one individual, and again, this is referencing, you might say, quantum laws that, my God, you know, it's like, one in God, you might say, is a vast majority of 750,000 individuals. To realize,
and that's just logical, though. That's just logical, because now you're talking about the vibration of frequency. That's really what that boils down to. So if you have 750 people.
750,000
people vibrating at a really low rate of speed, and you have another individual vibrating at a completely elevated level. That's just a given. I mean, it's like that kind of vibe frequency would like a fan. I always use the analogy of a fan, like a spinning fan. If the propeller spins fast enough, to the point where you can't even see it. I mean, we've gotten glimpses of that with the airplanes and just watching a propeller. If it spins fast enough, you can't even see it. But if you are obviously vibrating at a completely lower rate of speed, which is this dense state that we're in, if you were to put your hand in it, it's going to get chopped off, even though you don't see it. So it's the same principle that we're dealing with all along this journey, all along this road. That science is the same principle.
Well, I think for you, that's common sense, this understanding. I think for a lot of people, this whole quantum thing, I mean, it's like one out of 750,000 individuals obviously get it, but the other 750,000 individuals just don't get it. They're not vibrating at that higher level, and it's not common sense to them.
But they're not supposed to get it, though, because that's not their journey.
That's right. That's right, and that's back to the journey of every soul. I mean, if you think about it, we probably have myriad numbers of embodiments, and this is just one moment, and I think it is a seminal moment for a lot of souls because of the time right now. This Mayan calendar concept of galactic alignment and the energetics of the great central sun aligning with hundreds of billions of star systems in our galaxy, aligning with our solar system as it comes up into alignment with it, and in alignment with, of course, our Earth and our solar system, with these energies pulsing from the great central sun through these billions of star systems through our sun and resonating in the holographic field of our Earth. There's time and energy for souls and the opportunity and the awakening and what this all means, the cosmic moment, you know, at this time with the thinning of the veil, whatever you want to call it. I really believe that this is, for a lot of souls, this is, and what's going to happen, I'm not saying, but the portents for something energetic, affecting consciousness, our DNA, the morphic fields in the Earth, the morphic fields in the body with our DNA and our consciousness, the morphic fields in the holodeck. I really believe there's a window of opportunity opening for souls who actually are getting a grip on or a relationship with their soul. You know what I mean?
And I agree with you. I absolutely agree. I do, as a matter of fact, That's I've written about that. But yes, absolutely. I think there is that window of opportunity because of the frequency, because of the that particular energy that is, you know, expanding or unfolding, will connect with those, with the consciousness that is in alignment with that, that are questioning, that are wanting to move forward. And then there are those, it doesn't matter what you say to them, they
that's
have
true.
No idea what you're talking about. And that's what, when I make some of those references, I think that people, we have to understand that nothing is lost. If you see that person and you think, oh my God, they're going to miss the boat. Nobody, first of all, nobody dies, nothing dies, and nobody is missing any boat. I think that there are some, like you said, that are going to ride that wave because they're ready to ride that wave. But if we go back to the whole idea of past, present, and future existing simultaneously, then is it that we are leaving, we are shifting, leaving a concept of a reality behind, and those that are still in alignment with that particular concept of reality will be there, and again, at some point, a cycle opens up for them as well. So I think that we, for me, I have to look at the perspective and not from the perspective of feeling like we need to try to save everyone, because I don't think anybody needs saving. I think we're all here on a unique journey and a unique expression of this journey, and that's why you cannot wake some people. It doesn't matter what you say, they won't shift from it, because it's just not their time. It's just not part of what they need. How many
true.
Times did a door open, Chris? How do we know that other opportunities have not happened and we did not see them? Because we see reality in the context in which we see reality. How do we know
I do know that throughout history, when there's a major turning of the cycles, like Pisces, you know, going into the Piscean master, Jesus was very clear on the point of you can create parables, metaphors, exquisite metaphors for people understanding first principles. You know,
right,
first principles of conscious evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very compassionate with individuals. He said that, in general, that the poor in spirit will always be with us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
and it's true. And he said, he didn't go into, you know, the idea that some people are soulless or the living dead, you know. But
right.
What he was really referencing is the fact that at that time, you might say, for in the Middle East, in that, you know, that energy center of the planet where all those, you know, Judaism, Muslim, Christianity, where they all sprung from, he set the matrix for conscious evolution. I think what's going on right now, we're at the cusp of Aquarius, and there are Aquarian principles that really deal with universal love, universal law, universal language, universal rules governing the holodeck or the holographic field. And I think, like Galileo, recognized they're geometric. I mean, that's the character of it. They're mathematical, but their character is geometric. And they frame energy just like a circle frames energy differently than a triangle or a square. And that an understanding of those framing principles, you might say the constitution of consciousness, you know, within the holodeck, as we become conscious of how we are conscious, the self-correcting, self-elevation, self-mastery process accelerates. It's like it's a psyche feedback loop, just like with biofeedback. Once you become conscious of that which was involuntary in the body, not only do you will control, you can't resist self-control once you become conscious of that which was involuntary. Well, it's the same thing with psyche feedback. Once you become conscious of the processes of consciousness and how we frame consciousness in the holodeck, there's a feedback loop where the creation, the creative process, the learning process accelerates. And I think that quickening that's going on, if there's an understanding energetically that the holodeck itself is getting rebooted with energies that it just didn't have before, and that there's ways to channel that energy or frame that energy or coordinate energy with, you know, you might say, and they're calling it the Mayan calendar, universal co-creation with that energy. You know, the co-creation is, you know, co-creation with God in terms of geometrically ordered divinity, you know, the order of the universe. That there is an order of the universe, it's pure geometry at a quintessential level. And that as you become conscious of how you're conscious, you might say with God conscience, you know, the order of this order, it's like programming the holodeck. There's a source code, and the source code's pure geometry. And how that frames, you might say, this cosmic cube between the ears, with you might say, lines between the corners of that cube are forming all these triangles, all these pyramids. And the very center of that, you know, the whole point is where the circle coming out from the very center, you have concentric rings. And basically, they're all the capstones of all these pyramids in this cosmic cube. And so all these dimensions of the upper brain, lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, rear brain, they're all being cross-referenced with a spherical consciousness, which is truly spiritual. Some people would say fifth dimensional.
Right.
But then as soon as you get into that concept of the dimensions, you start to lose people because they haven't got frames of reference to grok it, or, you know.
And I completely understand that, too, because,
yeah.
Again, from where I sit in terms of workshops and so on and so forth, I mean, I don't get into, I mean, I have written about it, but the reason why I kind of stay away from certain
terminology, yeah.
Yeah, terminology is because we are such programmable beings that we get very stuck on certain
terms,
things,
yeah.
Certain terms,
yeah.
And then the our definition or how we are interpreting them become very limited. Like, for example, when you mention, you know, the fifth dimension, or people talk about even the sixth dimension, or so on, you get people that are completely stuck on doing everything to get to the fifth dimension.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not about that. It really isn't. Whether it's the fifth or the tenth, the point is it's an evolution that we're experiencing. And I think if we just embrace the whole process from the aspect of the fact that we, if you are ready to do that, you as an individual have an opportunity to really expand in consciousness, you will automatically be in that space where you need to be, if that be the case. But if you target, this is what I'm doing, then you become tunnel vision and you become just as limited as you were before, because now you've locked yourself into an idea and a concept that could be even more vast than we can imagine. But now you've limited yourself, because now you've created limitations or perceptions about what the fifth dimension is, where possibly maybe it's not that. Maybe it's way more than that. But now you've got a limitation in your mind as to what exactly is that. And I think that we tend to do that. It's how we function and we operate. But I know exactly what you're saying, because I wrote about it only once in my book, and I realized how we have a tendency to do that, to get caught up on that, and we miss so
yeah.
many other things that we need to see. And we also need to embrace the beauty of this journey. One thing I realized is that going through that kind of evolution has everything to do with falling in love with having been a human being on all levels. I think that it has been a tremendous gift, good, bad, and indifferent. Everything that we've experienced has all been part of what it is to be a human being. And we can't say, you know, I've often said that on many shows, that you know, everything, you know, God is everything. And then when it comes to certain things, we don't want to associate whatever our concept of God is with that. But if everything is made of the same thing, then we have to see it. We have to be able to begin to look at it like that. Everything has happened the way it has because if God is everything, then that, whatever we define as God, has to
there's
be
the key,
expressed.
How we define God, because God is different things to different people, and there's no universal definition of God.
No.
I mean, you can, and you can be speaking to the choir, you know, like any one group of people, you know, has their own, I mean, all these different communities, religious communities, education communities, political, they have their own language, they have their own terms, and you can, you know, you bring up the subject of God, and there's ways they either avoid it or the way they qualify it within their own the context
belief
of
systems, right?
Their own, with their BS, I call it BS, their belief system.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And it's a comfortable space. It's what's comfortable.
And I have thousands of people on my e-news list, and there's a lot of them that are the New Age, and a lot of them that are Christian fundamentalists, and there's a lot of Buddhists, and you know, there's a way to talk about back to the subject of terminology. There's a way to talk about the spirit that matters without hooking into a specific terminology that is only appreciated by one of those groups. And it's like the gift of speaking in tongues. You know, I'm no master of it, but the concept of being able to speak to everyone so that they get it. You know what I mean?
No, I totally understand what you're saying. And I think that even in other religious organizations, religious orders,
yeah,
even if they don't use the term God, there is this sense that whatever their belief is in a greater, higher power, they do feel that it's
right.
Everything is made of that, you know, that everything springs from this,
yeah,
whatever particular. So there is, I believe, that base understanding. It all comes down to what we call this whatever we want to call it, whatever we want to call this source. But I think they all seem to, even, you know, atheists have some sort of concept as to what they think in terms of, you know,
that's
everything
right.
Springing
how it's all
forth.
How it's all connected.
Absolutely. And, you know, so it's all based on, again, which is what I was saying before, our belief systems and our programming. And you're right. We have to take into account those, all of these people. When we talk about everybody is going through this massive, you know, evolution, there's different levels of this expansion. And if one is not able to step outside the box because these are your beliefs and you're locked in them, then you're going to go as far as those beliefs and perceptions will take you, just as quantum physics talks about the observer effect. You know, it's all in the same, it's all the same thing in terms of how we're viewing or seeing, you know.
Yeah, the mere observation of the phenomena changes the phenomena.
Based on what your perception
on your,
is.
On your filters, you know, how you process. And I would like to think that there is a pure and precious way to frame an understanding of cosmic law, cosmic love, you know, universal law language, golden rule law language for every golden age. And yeah, I can metaphorically play around with that concept from different angles. But again, each individual is going to process it from their own perspective. Interpret
Absolutely.
It from their own perspective. And I realize that. But at the same time, I can't help but, I can't think of anything better to do than massage that message that there is a way to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness in a way that cultures what is being referred to as unity conscience or universal co-creation or, you know,
and they will
what?
Get it though. That they will get it if
in time.
It doesn't matter how we phrase something, we can do the best that we can in phrasing it. There's always going to be some people that don't get it. And then there are going to be those people that get it. So it's like we're trying your darndest to please everyone. It's just not possible because everybody is coming from a different space. And those people, I mean, I've had people who are born-again Christians who have emailed me and said, you know what, that's the first time I've ever heard it put this way, that it's really making me really do some deep thinking. And then I've had them buy a lot of my workshops and stuff, and my stuff is really very, it is very out the box. And to see that these people are ready and open to actually explore that, just because they're ready, then it could be another person.
Just because they're ready.
Just because they're ready.
It's the old, when you're ready, the master will appear, and that master will come in a form that they're ready for.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So I don't put so much emphasis, I don't put any emphasis, actually, on trying to make sure the whole world understands, because I think that just, I don't think the whole world is supposed to necessarily get what we think, what we define or understand at this moment in the way we understand it. Just like there's poor people, if there weren't poor people, there wouldn't be rich people. If there weren't rich people, you know, then we couldn't say these are poor people. Not that I'm saying it's a good or bad thing, but I'm just showing how, you know, everything seems to work on this particular level of reality, and I think that's so important that we understand that. On level of reality, that's the way it's functioned in order to have these polar opposites in these particular experiences till we begin to expand from that.
Yeah, and if we're addressing 3D reality of the prevailing 750,000 individuals who calibrate it, calibrate at the lower weakening levels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in that, you know, level of density, and if we're speaking to the choir, so to speak, at that level, then we can't even say anything about the higher levels. They just won't get it. I mean,
they will hear nothing.
They'll hear nothing.
They will stone us.
That they'll stone, you know. So, you know, so the idea is speaking to the choir, you know, with singing to the choir, you might say, with a vibration, an energy of pure love and reverence for all life that'll counterbalance indirectly, inadvertently, you know, indubitably, you know, the 750,000.
Any other words?
You know, so I have to look at, you know, this process of. You know, I really can understand why the Tibetans just kind of hung out in caves and raised the vibration of the plant from that perspective.
You know, and they do, I mean, they do what they do. I mean, I personally, yes, I do like now, of course, because now I'm in a different space with it. But the more I started to recognize, yes, the challenge of expanding or going through this profound evolution in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the chaos.
Yeah.
Come on now. We're in the midst of the matrix of this whole everything. And in the middle of it, you are trying to expand as opposed to being a monk sitting on a mountaintop. You're in the mix of it.
Yep. And you're in the world, but not of the world. That's the
absolutely
idea.
And and that allows you to really know what you say that you know. You don't have a choice but to begin to either live it or not live it. So it is a profound learning ground that we are in. And the more, the more we fall in love with the understanding that there is a beauty in being human and all levels, it's the more we free up ourselves and the more the things that we took on as being hurtful or these various concepts, the less dense we become, because there will be less of that kind of observation or judgment. And it changes us in terms of our consciousness.
There's a philosophic calm about all this, that it's all in divine order, that I like to think of Obi-Wan Kenobi when he was taken out of embodiment, but he was overshadowing Luke, and the Force was with him. And it's kind of like a million Tibetans, monks that were taken out of embodiment with the communist purge, but now they've incarnated. They've incarnated in the West, and they're overshadowed. It's like they've infiltrated the heart of the beast, and they're working from the inside out to bring in a vibration that's holding the balance for hundreds of thousands of people.
That's right, and I mean, and with that, there has to be that's profound love. That's profound love. So, and also the individual. I think I also like to point out that I don't know that it's necessarily based on the collective in order for the individual to really expand and evolve. And then we look at Buddha and we look at Jesus or Yahshua or whatever your beliefs are. When you look at those great spiritual teachers, they did not have to wait on a crowd. Now, some might say, but that's what they're here for. Well, how do you know what you're here for? You know, everybody's here on a different level of agenda, and that's why it's important that the individual focuses on inner change and focus on the individual, because that one individual does send a ripple. Again, we talked about the morphogenic field. You mentioned that. And you send a ripple, and that's how change, happens. It truly begins with the individual and not just externalizing and trying to fix and change everybody else. The greatest gift we can give is to truly work on our own evolution.
I believe that, and I believe the process of evolutionary ascent, and I'm going to finish with this, and I'm going to let you give a finishing comment because it's time to do a wrap here, but I believe that whole process of evolutionary ascent begins with pure intention that focuses attention with love's retention for evolutionary ascension into, call it the fifth dimension or unity consciousness or common sense or universal co-creation, God, love, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, love, whatever.
Whatever. So
all of it.
So all of it, all of the above. So it's like evolutionary ascent, the conscious evolution process. I really believe those are the keys. And of course, on the websites and and the articles that I've been writing, I go into the framing of that with pure geometry thought forms. And that is the love model, cosmic love model, that I'm referring to, and I can't think of anything better to do. So what's your passion?
What's my passion?
Yeah.
Life. As somebody asked me a question the other day, and I say I live to live. That's what I do. I live to live. I don't live to die. Yeah. I live to live and to remember more and more and more about, who I am. And to me, that's the greatest gift that I can give to myself, is to do that and go into my own expansion and, hopefully send that ripple.
I'm so grateful you came on the show today.
I thank you.
I want to thank everyone for listening. And
Can I give out my website really quickly?
Oh, please do. Yeah, please do.
My main website is spiritinform.com. Spiritinform, FORM.com, and then that will take you to my other website. And the businessofdisease.com is the documentary website.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll do this again. Hopefully, as soon as your book comes out, I'd love to go into this again. I really enjoy talking with you.
Oh, same here. Thank you.
Happy trails, everyone. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience. It will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.